Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
And experiences. We don't want to love people that irritate us sometimes. And yet the Bible said, listen, folks, I'm gonna let you in on a clue. When you were a sinner, you really bothered God. God is a holy God. He can't abide your sin. Matter of fact, the Bible said the wrath of God abides on everyone that doesn't believe on Jesus Christ. It lives upon them. Amen? But how many knows he loves them enough to give his son for those people and invites them because of that love to come to him and be saved? So if we talk about a covenant tonight in Psalm 105, and we're going to talk again about a covenant, it is a love covenant. He said, I don't love you because you're lovable, literally, to Israel in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, I love you because I have a covenant with Abraham. I am love, and I'm committed to loving you, nationally and personally. Praise God. Isn't that good? Well, I want you to stand tonight, and I want us to pray together, because all the sham is over, and the game playing is over, and this phony baloney love is over. How many realize tonight that when you say I love you, unless the Holy Spirit supernaturally empowers you to love as Christ love, it is not Christian love at all. It's the same human brand that dwells in this world out here. Amen. And there's some good qualities to it. At its best, it can do self-sacrificing, wondrous things. But the Bible said, if I speak in the tongue of men and angels and have not what? Phileo? No. Have not this agape divine love, I have become a representation of something that is so far beyond my capacity to represent that I'm sounding brass and I'm tinkling cymbals. Spirituality is not how many gifts you have or whether you speak in other tongues. It's whether or not we can become more and more like Jesus Christ. Amen? Let me run this by you again. Can you handle the fact tonight that we need that supernatural capability in our life? You understand that? Is it becoming clear? How many know that we don't love each other to stick together here? Unless that kicks in. Because you're not lovable enough for me to always love you. And I, believe it or not, am not. Don't amen this. Just calm down. I'm not lovable enough for you to always love me. Sometimes I'm going to do things and say things that you may disagree with. Did you know something? Some people quit loving you just because they don't agree with you. They just cut it off. Say, I don't like that. Zip, cuts it right off. I'm so glad that God loved you like he loved you. And I'm so glad that God loved me like he loved me. I want to love my wife as Christ. Listen, husbands, love your wives. How? How? With our best human capacity to pull out all the stops and love wholeheartedly the best that we can as human beings. No, love your own wife even as Christ what? Love the... Oh, come on. That's, everybody say, that's infinite. That's supernatural. That's beyond my capacity. I need the Holy Ghost to help me. You don't love your wife like Christ loved the church unless it is divine love, because he didn't love us with human love. It's not what held him to the cross. Human love would have broke down on that cross with people saying, if you're the Son of God, save yourself. Human love would have broke down under the pressure. Everybody he ever was good to forsook him. Peter denied him 3 times and swore with an oath and said, I never knew him on the 3rd time. Can you say amen? It would have broke down on the cross if it was our kind of love. But it didn't break down on the cross. And because it didn't break down, we're Christians tonight. That's how Jesus loved the church. And he tells us as husbands to love our wives like he loved the church and gave himself for it. Can you say amen? Believe me, lady, if your husband loves you that way, you're going to have a wonderful commitment in your marriage. By the way, wives, you're also to love back. Amen? In fact, we're to love each other as Christians with the same love wherewith Christ. Same. Everybody say it again, same love. That's got to be supernatural, hasn't it? Are we making the mark, or are we even trying to hit the mark? Someone said one time about these great spiritual challenges in Scripture that the danger isn't that we'll hold the mark too high and people won't hit it. The danger is that we will set the mark too low and everyone will hit it. And I'm afraid because we haven't depended enough on the Holy Ghost for those kind of things. Amen? We've set the mark too low, and we have hit it. There is a status quo around Christianity that doesn't involve divine, supernatural, agape love for one another. And therefore, covenants between people and promises are very weak because there's no love to hold, amen, when the pressure gets on. Marriage is a covenant, isn't it? It's a covenant. If you're a Christian, you didn't just get a legal document or make a few empty promises. You came into a covenant before Almighty God. I don't care if a justice married you. God took it seriously. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And you came into a covenant. And it's the kind of covenant that he made with Israel. He told him, you won't be called unmarried anymore. You're going to be called the wife. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, I'm married to the backslider. What does that mean? He said, listen, this is just like a marriage covenant. You can leave me, but I'm committed to you. You're the covenant breaker, not me. And if you'll come back, I'll restore you. Can you say amen? Everybody say covenant love. Covenant love is a commitment that is kept because of the Spirit of God, hallelujah, moving in that wonderful realm of His character and nature. We don't hold a candle to it in our feeble human emotional stuff. People sing, oh, how I love Jesus, you know, and get this emotion going, and a little trickle, you'll even see a little trickle, amen, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. We push that little emotional button, and a little trickle comes down the eye, but you cross that soft, melted down person about Tuesday afternoon when they're in a mood. Can you say amen? And they'll let you know just how thinly, amen, they're stretched and how quickly they can drop you like a hot potato. That is not what held Jesus to the cross. Can you say amen? Come on, church. That's not what held him there. It took something better and stronger than that. And we're not going to be anything like him or show the world anything like him or operate toward one another anything like he does toward us. Unless we pray for that in our own life and heart. And you'll never understand covenant love if you keep trying to take your best love and say, that's how God loves me. God better love you more than your best love. Can you say amen? Or Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross for you. Because he didn't die for that sweet little baby that you love so much. You say, this is the best brand of love. No, it is not. Jesus didn't die for innocent little babies, but proud, blaspheming sinners that were stubborn and sinning against him and taking a sick pleasure in watching his agony and his death. For God so loved that kind of world that he gave his only begotten son. Can you say amen? So church, I just want to get out of the phony baloney. I know I need it. I haven't arrived, but I know I need it. That's a step in the right direction. Can you say amen? I know one thing all day long. I have felt God in me wanting to pour his love on you. And for your sake, that's pretty good because I'll preach anything he gives me. Amen. He's the man tonight. But truth has to be undergirded with love to do the good that God wants it to do. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God loved Nineveh. He was going to have to judge it because of his holiness. But Jonah found out real quick that God loved those people. And he delighted in mercy. Hallelujah. And he repented of the judgment against them when he saw their repentance. And when Jonah didn't get it, God let him experience, amen, the lack of his grace and mercy in his own life. And he said, here you are complaining because the gourd vine that I let shade you from the sun to keep you from sunstroke, supernatural, just come up and provide an umbrella over him. Can you say amen? When it withered and died because his own attitude changed. And listen, you can't be unkind to others and expect God's grace to continue towards you. And it withered. Brother, the blessing in his life just withered and died right before him. And he said, and then he was upset because the gourd vine died. Amen. And he said, you're concerned because your old head's getting hot. Amen. And you have no concern over those thousands of people, let alone the cattle and the animals that would have been killed if my judgment had come. And he wants to let ministry get a hold of this tonight. Amen. God has to judge because he's holy. But he desires mercy more than judgment. And if people would turn to him, he will turn that verdict around. And I don't care if America's been prophesied against. Amen. And the prophecy is true because of our sin. I'm telling you, if there's a turnaround in America, God will show mercy and restore this nation because that's the God that he is in Scripture. And that's the kind and quality of love that he has even for fallen, sinful man. And I'm grateful for that tonight. So I don't want the phony baloney stuff. I want to move into that goes beyond that. Hallelujah. If you can't forgive your enemy tonight, you can't follow Christ tonight. that simple. You go to church, but you can't follow Jesus. If you follow Jesus, you got to cry forgive, even if they have put you on a cruel cross of pain. What did he cry in that cruel cross of pain? Father, do what? Father, nail him. Father, return this judgment on them. You know, they set up their own judgment. They said, his blood be upon us and our children. God said, fine. But that's not what my son asked for on the cross. My son asked for mercy for you. Can you say amen? And you refused the mercy and literally dared God to judge you. So judgment came. If you want to know why the persecution has come to this people, it's because mercy was rejected. Can you say amen? And now God wants to restore that people. But he's a good God and a gracious God to do that. Let's pray tonight. I want to pray that we begin to move past all this phony baloney stuff. I've been a pastor for 30 years, and I've had enough phony baloney in my life and in other people's lives. I want to be real and honest. I need the Holy Spirit to do more in me than give me a message in tongues tonight, or to let me interpret, amen, or to give me a gift of a miracle that I could lay hands on someone and see a miracle or a healing. I need God to help me to be more like Jesus, to love my wife like Christ loved the church, to love you with the same love that Christ loved us. In order to do that, I'm going to have to love like Jesus loved hanging on that cross. And you're going to have to love the same way. And if you don't, let me tell you something about your covenants. Your covenants can break down. No matter how holy and righteous your resolve to keep them, your covenants can break down under pressure. God's can't and God's won't. And the reason is not only because he's holy and can't lie, but because God is love and his love is infinite and it doesn't break down under pressure. Anyone on planet Earth that goes to hell because God has to judge them because of his holiness will go to that hell, beloved of God. And it's a double tragedy because God will love them no matter what. When he gives them over to a reprobate mind, it's because their heart will no longer hear it and he sees that heart. It's not because he quits loving them and gets angry at them. Can you say amen? This is an incredible truth about God. So when we study the love covenant, amen, I want you to understand that your best understanding of love will never define the love that God loved Israel with and the love that God loves you with. And our best effort at human loving one another, how many has ever, just, you don't have to name anybody, and I can't figure it out. I don't know your realm of friends or family. How many has ever had a family member or a friend that just broke your heart? Anybody here that broke your heart? Amen. See, man's love at its best has limits. And man's love at its best can break down. God's love doesn't have those limits. That's why Peter said 7 times. He said, yea, and 70. And we're not talking about 490. He's using a number to help us understand the infinite character of the love of God. Because he keeps loving, he keeps forgiving when people genuinely turn to him. Isn't that incredible about God? So when we talk about this love covenant tonight, do not associate it with any love you've ever received from a person or given to a person, because if it doesn't go beyond that, it's your human capacity, period. And that's where it will stop, at the end of your human capacity. I've seen two people that were in love and got married, and somebody had an affair, did something terribly wrong and lied, and there was no possibility of reconciliation. It was cut completely, absolutely severed, no way to get forgiveness, to have restoration in any sense. It turned to a terrible anger and even hatred and bitterness in that heart. Amen. That's not the kind of love. God didn't get bitter. He didn't hate. He was done that way. He had a prophet marry a harlot, a streetwalker, and have her break his heart to tell Israel how I feel when you break my heart. Can you say amen? But he had that man forgive that woman. She went out and men beat her. They didn't just use her sexually. They began to just beat her because they had no respect for her. They used her and then they beat her and hurt her. And she come dragging herself home. And her husband could have said, I'm a righteous man. You've defiled your marriage vows. You've defiled my name and you're not welcome here. But you know what God told him to do? Take her in and love her. Take her in and love her. And he says, Israel, if you'll come home, The world, you think the world and all those false gods and everything going to help you, but they're going to hurt you in the end. But when you come home, I want you back. And I'll take you back. And I'll love you and I'll restore you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm glad that there's something bigger and better than man's capacity in this world. Hallelujah. And I'm glad God has that capacity. And that's why when we talk about the love of God, we have to have something more. And are you beginning to sense where this is going tonight? God wants you to know the kind and quality of love that you're loved with. It's not like your mama loved you. And it's not like your daddy loved you, or your husband loved you, your wife loved you, or some close friend loved you. Because all of them can fail you. But the love that God loved you with was the kind he loved Peter with. Hallelujah. That did a good act toward the one that had cursed and denied his very name. And yet God sought him out. And Peter became the apostle. He became because the love of God was stronger than his sin. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's pray about this. Father, we're on a journey to the infinite, and we'll never complete it, but we want to move closer to you, to your character of love and your covenant of love. To talk about your covenant, we got to talk about your character. And Father, we pray tonight that we might see through Jesus Christ the greatness and the goodness of our God, and to understand better the love of God that passes all of our human capacity, that we might begin to grasp it and see it more clearly tonight. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said amen and amen. You've stood for way too long. I hope you still love me. Hallelujah. I didn't mean to talk that long as a preface to this. Psalm 105. Amen. And we see God's faithfulness to his covenant people. I read from John Calvin that all true wisdom consists of two parts, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of ourselves. Unless we have both together, we will properly understand neither ourselves or God. To quote Calvin, man never achieves a clear knowledge of himself unless he first looks upon God's face. And then descends from contemplating him to scrutinize himself. For we always seem to ourselves righteous and upright and holy. You know, I put in a thumb and pulled out a plum and said, what a good boy am I. Can you say amen? We see ourselves as good when we judge ourselves by others. But in the presence of God, we really see how much he must love us to give his son for us. Because we are not by nature good. We're born into a fallen world. The secular world thinks you're a product of your environment. No, we're a product of the fall, darling. It happened in Eden. Praise God. You can't just give people a good background and turn out good kids. You can't just make them scholars. One of the serial killers that did such damage, the reason he was so personable, so intellectual, he came from a home that had a Christian background. He went to college. And so there's nothing in his background or raising to contribute to his evil. That evil is something that is lurking in this world after the fall, and it can influence anyone. It's amazing the intelligent people that followed Adolf Hitler, that listened to what he was saying, that wanted to kill a race of men, women, and children who were non-combatants, literally no military threat to the nation of Germany. There is evil in this world, and it explains things that are unexplainable any other way. But there's also great good in this world, because God is involved in this world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Looking at God's purity is the antidote to all human pride. That's why our love is now being compared to the infinite love of God. And we're seeing already how flawed it is. How many know how flawed it is? It's flawed. It's badly flawed. Praise God. It's amazing. 30 years of pastoring, you just see it all. If I didn't believe that the Holy Spirit could get inside people and make changes, I wouldn't bother preaching love to anybody. Because I know you can't do it. Can you say amen? I know you can say it in a sentimental moment based on your emotional commitments. Amen. Covenants have to be far greater than an emotional commitment. Marriage had better be stronger than a strong emotion for the moment. Because things are going to test that. I mean, women are going to have children and they're not going to be there. You know, just all romantic at the end of the day. They have followed rugrats all over the house all day long and changed dirty diapers. You know, you hit the door and you want that same person to say, whoa, I'm glad you're home. You know, I got my hair done, my jewelry on, and my lipstick and my wonderful perfume. And, oh, I'm all filled with romance. Somebody's just as tired and haggard as you are. And you're going to have to carve out some romantic time. Praise God. Amen. To shelve some things, you know, plan some things. You got to work at it is what I'm saying. Praise God. But if it was emotional to begin with, it's going to take emotion to keep it going. And if that emotion breaks down, and it will over time and over testing, then everything, all bets are off. And no matter what, and the Christian marriage department is dismal right now. It's not good. We used to be able to compare it to the world and say, with a certain amount of accomplishment, if you're a Christian, you can have a secure marriage. We cannot say that today. We've saw breakdowns in the pulpit. We've saw it in the pew. We've saw it behind the stained glass windows. We used to have a time, if you were a cleric, that meant you lived a high moral standard. But we see in Roman Catholicism right now the breakdown of that. And oh, that it were only limited to Roman Catholicism. Then we could say a flawed doctrine was the reason for it. But there are situations in Protestantism that rival what has happened in that area. Amen. More heterosexual sin than homosexual sin or pedophile sin, but sin nonetheless sexually. So we see the breakdown of that. I'll start to say something a while ago. If I don't say it now, it won't get said. Not only does God, by the Holy Spirit, want you to love one another supernaturally and love your spouse supernaturally. Amen. Love your enemies supernaturally, because it's going to take the supernatural. He wants you to love him back with the love that he loves you with. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to give you and I the capacity to love God like that. That's why missionaries die for him. It's not because of a great political ideal or some social ideal, but because of an intense love for Christ. Amen. That they're willing to lay down their life for Jesus. And if you think you love him that much here in pampered America, where we're not called upon to sacrifice anything, that church had better be very convenient to even get us to attend it. Amen. Our attention span is very limited, and our time, we guard our time. Don't ask me to spend that much time in God's house on his day, because it's not really his day. It's really my day, and I'm going to give him a little corner of it to pacify him and to keep me with my foot in the door of blessing, because, you know, I really love the blessings. But push come to shove, I don't lay down my life, not even my time, for Christ. So you don't have full-blown dedication. I'm standing in the locker room at work, and it's Saturday night now, because I work 6 days, and men are going to hit bars. It's 9:30. The bars are just starting to jump at 9:30 and 10, and some of those men are headed for the bars, and there's a term. I didn't know it. I knew when you, before the pop tops on beer cans, you had a church key. They call it a church key. That's what you use to open. Anybody ever remember that term? Wave if you do. Anybody ever used a church key other than to get in here? You don't have to raise your hand for that. Amen. They didn't have pop tops. They called a church key. So somebody said, are you going to church? And I thought, Saturday night? I mean, are these late night Adventists or what? You know, are you going to church? And he said, yeah, I might drop by those. And he named a bar, because it's kind of I don't know where it started or why it started, but people I'm working with, it's like, let's go to church. You going to church with me? Because I guess that's a code word for the bar, because that way you can get together and go to the bar and nobody will stop and say, going to some, you know, naughty bar, I guess it was, amen, where you can drink and get into more sin, because it's all available to titillate the sensibilities. And somebody said something about, something about Rev's down there, and he said, well, he knows what reality is. And one guy was boasting. Here's what he boasted. He said, a lot of my friends I go drinking with go to church. And I thought, you know, here's the biggest argument against teetotally. I mean, you don't have to pull out a bunch of scripture. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If I go out drinking with the boys, I can't open my Bible and talk to them about living for Christ on Sunday morning. It just doesn't work that way. But we think it can work that way. I love Jesus too much. Amen. This is not about drinking with your spaghetti over in Italy. Amen. This is a whole genre where you get inebriated and then you justify your sinful actions, because now you have a reason to act the way you act. There are people that justify the wrongs they do because they said, you know, I heard a country music song scanning the stations and said, Jose Cuervo. You know, he's not some Mexican who lives over in Plant City. This is a name for you tell him, amen. The rest, you know who I'm talking about. My wife don't have a clue. Hallelujah. Thank God she's a church lady. Glory be to God. She got saved young. Praise the Lord. This is tequila. Somebody hollered out. Amen. Jose Cuervo. Amen. Did I? And there's a verse that said, did I get into a fight? Did I kick out the light? In other words, if I drink alcohol, then I can go out and sin all I want. And it won't really be me morally responsible for my sin. I was too inebriated. I didn't know what I was doing. Can you say, man? Well, let me tell you something. If you hit somebody in your car while you're inebriated and don't know what you're doing, you're going to be held morally responsible. And they'll get you for vehicular homicide. So I'm telling you, this isn't something that you want to be doing as a Christian. But I'm saying there are people that are going to sing those psalms and hymns of love to him on Sunday morning that don't regard him at all in their heart. They don't love him like he loves them. Can you say amen? And therein is the problem. The thing that God wants to accomplish tonight is twofold. He wants us to love him because he first loved us. And secondly, he wants us to love him with the kind of love that he loved us with. Can you say amen? So that our commitment to him is just as strong as his commitment to us. Wow. Because the love of God is what? Beyond our reach. Beyond our touch. So why bother even going for it? No, the love of God is shed abroad. Everybody say a rain bird. I'm talking about the sprinkler system. Amen. They go. Why is it doing that? To make sure it saturates. It just distributes freely. Amen. It just flows out. Amen. The Bible said if the Holy Ghost has a mighty work that he can do, it's shedding God's love like that abroad in your heart. Well, when God's love is in my heart, I can love like the Lord loved. But I have to keep yielded to the Holy Spirit to do that. And I have to pray for that kind of love to manifest in me more than for gifts to impress you with. I have to be something, not just do something for Jesus. And we're into doing, not into being. And God's a lot more concerned about your character than he is your charisma. That's for my charismatic friends. I'm Pentecostal. I'm from the old school. But I'm realizing something. Tongues without love. You're around a tongue-talking Christian doesn't mean that they're going to love you like Jesus loves you. Have you discovered that? Have you discovered that two tongue-talking Christians can turn on each other and be at each other's throats? Amen? And yet we're supposed to have the capacity to go beyond the human limitations by the supernatural indwelling of the Spirit of God within us. Hello? There are a lot of tongue-talking Christians going to church to get a blessing, quote-unquote. And there's a lot of people that don't talk in tongues going out in mission fields to try to win people to Christ. Which one is the most fruitful servant? The one looking for a greater blessing and calling it spirituality, or the person actually having enough of the love of God to tell somebody else about Jesus Christ and share him? Who do you think God's going to reward the most? The one who didn't miss a crusade to get in the line to get blessed and fall out, or the one who went out and shared the faith with somebody because they loved their soul enough to tell them about Christ, and they did it with conviction and they did it with compassion? Who is God going to reward? What do you think God is the most in? Our definition of spirituality? Amen. Or is he in that touches another life? God is a God of what? He's a God of love. So get off your power trip for a little while. Amen. And understand that God loves the human race and he wants to touch people. How many would like to find a companion that would love you with a deep love if you in your relationship? Any singles here? There's somebody with two hands up saying, me, pick me. Amen. I can see Shrek's donkey right now. Me, pick me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. How many married people here would like to stay married till Christ comes or one of you goes home? And that bond not be broken. I perform weddings. I talk about the ring. I say rings are made of precious metal, these rings. Let your love one for another be the most precious possession of your heart and life. Each is a circle unbroken. Hallelujah. That's the symbolism of a ring. Let your love be unbroken through all of your earthly days. And then I usually quote Song of Solomon. He said, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man would give his all for love, he's talking about God kind of love. Amen. It would be utterly contemned. It means that there's nothing you can acquire on the face of this planet that can even hold a candle to the love that God loves mankind with. Can you say amen? And if you ever get a hold of that, he said, everything else is vanity and vexation of the spirit, but this love will endure. Hallelujah. It's stronger than death. Hallelujah. Amen? So now that we're all fully convicted tonight, and I hope we are, I want to be convicted. I don't want to be something other than what the Spirit of God wants me to be tonight. And I still fall short. But I know I'm falling when I'm falling. Some people are falling short and they don't care. They don't want to grow. They don't want the challenge. They want tongues to say, I've arrived. They don't want love to define them in any way. But when love becomes the defining principle of whether we're spiritual or not, then nothing we do in Pentecostalism has any value to God unless that divine love undergirds it. Faith. You know, you can be as selfish as the devil and go to get your faith built up so you can get what you want. You don't have to love God to go to hear a message on how to use your faith to get what you want. Oh, they'll cloak it in to get what you need. But it's not about what you need, because all you need is Jesus and food and raiment to be happy, according to the Scripture. So it can't be about your needs being met, because I don't know many people going to a faith seminar that don't have a decent clothes and a meal. Thank you. And they're Christian, too. So they're not going there to get their needs met. They're going there to get their wants. Hello? And you know why they got wants instead of just needs? They got wants because they're not satisfied with Jesus. Thank you for the hearty amen. If you're satisfied in Jesus and you got food and raiment, you don't have any needs. For you're complete in Him. Complete. C-O-M-P-L-E-T-E. Complete. If you're complete, you're complete. Can you say amen? If you're not complete, you're incomplete. But in Him, said, you're complete. But you won't be complete until you accept all that He is and all that He has. And you come to a place of not just sanctification, as I said this morning, but divine satisfaction. I am happy to be alive today with Jesus as my Master and my Savior. I am happy to be His servant. I am happy, hallelujah, with His provision in my life. I, in fact, have food. God simplifies it. He won't let you compete and compare. Amen. If Jesus isn't everything, He isn't anything as far as God is concerned. If you need Jesus in this and Jesus in that, other than the things that your Father knows that you have need of, then there's something incomplete in your relationship with Him, and God wants to really solve that. Because there are people down in Africa tonight that a pastor is getting on his bicycle to go to church. And the first thing he does when he gets up on that Schwinn that was shipped over from America for him to go down that road to this little Brush Arbor meeting he's going to tonight, he thanks God for His blessing. Yeah. He said, oh, John, I thank you for blessing me. I thank you for this Schwinn. Oh, I remember how I used to walk so far, and it took so long, and I was sweating. Amen. And my feet were sore and blistered from the walk. Oh, I thank you, and I thank the people who raised the offering to buy it for me. I am a blessed pastor, and I'm going to church tonight to preach the blessings of God. I have rice and beans in my cupboard. I shall eat today, and I shall catch fish in the river, and we'll eat rice and beans and fish, and I will be a happy man. Hallelujah. Happy is the man that hath the Lord come and take him for himself. And somebody's going to ride to church tonight in an SUV, and they're going to look out the window, and they're going to pull their Explorer up beside a Cadillac Escalade and say, whoa, I got to have me one of them. Amen. Amen. And somebody, amen, is going to sit down to a meal at the Red Lobster. You're not going to have to fish in the river and hope you catch something. Amen. You're going to go to the Red red lobster. You're going to have the whole platter. Hallelujah. And you're going to dip it in all those sauces. Amen. You're going to drink two things of tea. And you're going to eat about 15 of those herb biscuits. You know the biscuits I'm talking about. The one that make your tongue slap the roof of your mouth till it almost beats your brains out. It's so good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And then, you know, after that big meal, we're going to have a good burp. And we're going to get in our air-conditioned vehicle. And we're going to ride to a church somewhere. And amen. And we're going to say, oh, Father, I love you. If I didn't have anything, I am so satisfied with you. Amen. I am grateful to be a Christian. I'm glad, Jesus, you went to the cross. I love you with all my heart. If you want me to leave all of this and go to Africa and preach to a tribe down there and eat rice and beans and fish from the river, it would be a pleasure to do that. Hallelujah. Because my heart is set on things above, not on the things of this earth. I love you like that. Listen, real revival is not Christians looking for more blessings. It's Christians saying, I am so blessed. I cannot contain it. I'm going to give God my whole life, my all of my heart. I'm going to love Him back like He loved me. Otherwise, we're going to love God with the human brain. It'll be a religious type of love. It'll be the human capability. And the Bible said the love of many in the last day toward God and for God is going to break down. The love of many will wax cold. That's why an apostate church is coming. Because the love is breaking down. And when the love breaks down, amen, what He says in His word that we used to bow to, we don't even bend an ear to anymore. And that's why churches are leaving their moorings. Amen. And there's all kinds of problems now as there's a drift away from God. The love of many is waxing cold. Because that human brand of religious love breaks down. Under temptation, it breaks down. Somebody will come to an altar. God will graciously forgive all of their sin. And they'll go right out and hang with their old crowd. Because they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And because they hang with their old crowd, they don't win them. They are pulled back into that same world of sin and rebellion. And they walk away from Christ with no problem. And that's what we call saved nowadays. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing saved about that. Hello? There's nothing saved about it. Crying at an altar is not repentance. In fact, it's not what you do at the altar that constitutes repentance. That can be the first step in repentance. But it does not constitute repentance. It's what you do when you leave the altar. Because repentance means if you're going one way, you turn 180 degrees and you begin to walk in the opposite direction. And it's what we do when we leave. It's the same way with shouting. It's not what's happening while you're shouting. It's when your feet hit this planet and you walk out this thing in your life. That's what determines your Christian commitment. Can you say amen? Everyone's committed to getting a blessing if you know anything. Ain't nothing better here on earth. Amen. And when God comes down with His blessing upon you and you feel the tingly sensations of another world. Hallelujah. And you begin to taste in your spiritual perception the power of the world to come. But there's some power in this world. Amen. For your flesh to taste. And most people are tasting so much of this world that there's not enough of the taste in their mouth from that world to cause them to spew out this world and say, I want more of that world. Amen. Can you say amen? Churches like this are hard-pressed. I am hard-pressed to edit the services to a 30-minute sermon, get everything done in an hour, and get you on your way and have so many things going on around here that we can attract people here some way. That is the pressure that's on me. Because there are people who will not sit here. They will not come on Sunday night. They will not tax their energies. They will not tax their time. They got energy for everything but God. This is where the fatigue is. This is where it all sets in. This is where the mind can't stay focused. This is where the television and the world, everything in the world excites and titillates and grabs our energies. But God's house, can you say amen? So we have edited it. And preachers look at me like I'm crazy, a dinosaur, a tyrannosaurus. Rex from the past. They really do. They say, hasn't it hit you, Led? You can't have services, amen, like this. You can't have services like that. They're trying to tell me everywhere I turn that we can't have this kind of love for God, that this kind of love does not exist, that His word is not important enough to spend very much time in. That the world is stronger than God is. And I just can't hardly bear it. I can't change this thing. If we can't build a church on people really loving God, I don't want to be the pastor of the thing. I don't care how tall the steeple, how many the people, how beautiful the stained glass, how good the perks, and how great the salary. We'll never have revival just because there's a church sitting on the corner. The church is less relevant in America today than she's ever been. And the big old behemoth is bigger and more prominent than it's ever been. And we're in the worst moral decay in the history of the country. There was no armed officer on the school grounds when I went to school. Man actually boasted to me in my home church he went to that runs several thousand people. We have over 1,100 events scheduled for that year on our calendar. And I thought, well, what am I supposed to do? What you want? I didn't say it. I'm gracious. But I thought, you want me to do a backflip? You want me to say, whoa, 1,100 events. Wow, what an exciting place to go to church. Where do I sign up? Entertain me. Keep me interested. Keep me motivated. Keep so much going on that I just come back because I don't want to miss something. But don't ask me to come based on the way they came in Jamaica when we preached down there. There wasn't nothing going on at church. There was no celebrity going to sing. And certainly no celebrity going to preach. The only thing that drew them was Jesus. And I melted when they sang. Because they hadn't been emotionally stimulated. I'm in their music department. Was an elderly man with white hair, white beard, not gray, white. Who brought in a satchel that looked like one of those old leather cases of some kind. And I mean, it looked like it was turning green. And he brought that in. And I thought, what is that? And I didn't know that was the music for the night. This is a special music. This is a song leader. This is a special music for the evening. Of course, we're sitting on 2x4s across concrete blocks. So 2x6s, rather, 2x4s. We're from America. We couldn't find them. Amen. We needed 2x8s, but they couldn't get them anyway. Moving right along. We hallelujah. Amen. So he'd come in, and he brought his satchel, and he opened it up, and he pulled out a pair of cry cymbals. Cry cymbals that you use in a marching band. And they were corroded. Now, though, what in the world is he going to do with cry cymbals? There's no horns. There's no instruments. There's this guy, this old guy with these cry cymbals, and everybody's sitting straight as they can. You think these chairs get hard? Sit on a 2x4 on concrete blocks. Amen. And he pulled them out, and these people were there, and they were carrying their shoes. Everybody carrying their shoes. You know why? Because that's the only pair of shoes they had, and they didn't want to wear them out just walking around, so they were saving them for church. So when they got up to church, because there wasn't no more shoes going to come down the line maybe for them. So when they got up to the church, this was in the mountains, not at Montego Bay, where you stay in the hotel and get served like a prince or princess. This is up in the mountains where the people got to live. Can you say amen? And they came carrying their shoes, and when they got to the edge of the perimeter of the property we were having the service on, then they put those shoes on, and they came walking. Walking as saints of God, hallelujah, to sit down on that 2x6, sitting erect, amen, waiting for the music to start to praise and worship God, eating breadfruit, some of them for supper, amen, and not having anything near what we have. And there they sit, and this guy pulls out the cross symbols, and he strikes up a beat, just hitting them together. And he began to sing, I feel good, good, good. I feel good, wonderful, good. Every time I think about Jesus, I feel good. Mama and Papa in the promised land, one day soon me shake Mama's hand. Every time I think about Jesus, and boy, they jumped up and they began to sing, and my heart began to melt. And I thought, they are so cheerful. They are so happy. They've got Jesus and food and raiment, and they love God for loving them. And I come back to America with it all, and we can't hardly get people, amen, to say amen or hallelujah on Sunday morning. We're trying to pull and extract praise out of them. Honey, in light of how good God has been to us, we ought to be bounding into church like a marsupial, hallelujah, like a kangaroo. Can you say amen? We ought to be like the lame man, running and leaping and praising God. Because we've been pampered, darling. You need to go to the other world, the third world. You need to go to Port-au-Prince. Sweetest young man guided me to where I wanted to go when I was there on my own and didn't know anybody. And I met a guy that spoke he was French-Canadian, so he didn't speak English, spoke French. I got up in the Jeep with him, and he let me know he was a Christian, and he took me where I wanted to go. I didn't have to try to find a way to get there. And then when I needed a way to go around town, this young man came up about 10 years old, and he showed me where to go, and he interpreted for me when I needed to talk to somebody. And so it was a very hot day, and you sure didn't want to drink any ice water around that place because the water was polluted by the sewage people in the drains and stuff. People, literally, that was their bathroom at night. They would bar you from going into certain parts of town, but I got taken into those parts of town where whole families were sleeping and going to the bathroom and living literally on the sidewalks, literally just out in the wide open, laying down on a little thin pallet on the sidewalk, and that's where they slept, and that's where they ate, and that's where they went to the bathroom, and it was a terrible, and this is right in the capital city of Haiti, and this young man took me around. He was so gracious. He was so sweet. Yes, sir, and no, sir, and all of that. And then we came down. I said, son, let me buy you a Pepsi. I was going to pay him for helping me anyway. He didn't know that at the time, though. I hadn't said anything about money. He hadn't said anything about money. And I said, let me buy you a Pepsi. It's hot. I got me a Pepsi, and I love to see Pepsi. Thank God for Pepsi. Hallelujah. Amen. I could make a commercial for Pepsi. When you can't drink the water, Pepsi is really nice to see. Amen. And I it's been canned, and it's sanitary, and I picked it up. Somebody said, well, brother, if you had faith, hey, darling, you come and go with me. You go ahead and swallow the water, you crazy thing. Amen. That's silly. Amen. You know it's bad for you. You don't do it in the name of faith. That's presumption. That ain't faith at all. I've seen those kind of people, and I see what it got them. And believe me, it isn't fun. Amen. So anyway, I was glad to see the Pepsi. And I told this young man, I said, let me buy you a Pepsi. And he was so sweet, Pamela, so sincere. Normally a kid 10 years old grab Pepsi out of your hand that don't normally get anything like that. You know what he said? He said, my mother and my sister haven't eaten yet today. See, he was out scrounging trying to find something. And he said, if you would give me the cost of the Pepsi. And his eyes got big and they glistened. He said, I could buy some beans and some rice for our meal today. And boy, believe me, I gave him a lot more. In fact, when I left, there was hardly anything left in my pockets. If I had had more, I would have given it all away and been glad to do it. And I come back to America. So even the church has to dangle something. Because the cross up over the door doesn't solicit enough love to bring devotion. So we're program laden. We can't get them in with the cross. We will hire a Nashville artist that just played Vegas to the drunks, to the whores. Come on. But they sing in their entourage of money making, and they'll throw in a Christian song. So let's have them. Let's bring them in. Because everybody will come out to hear them. Listen, if they won't come to worship Him, then I wouldn't try to get them in there to listen to them. Because that means they have more influence upon God's people than Jesus does. And that's the plain fact of the matter. And that is a sad commentary on why the salt has lost its savor. We're here, but the world couldn't give a hoot. Because if we go out and drink with them on Saturday night, they don't care that we go to church on Sunday morning. Just don't care. It don't mean nothing to them. That hurt me. I know it, but when I see it again, it always hurts me. And it hurts me more for Him. Because it is a terrible devaluation of Jesus Christ. And He should be on the throne high and lifted up in our hearts. So what I'm saying is, not only don't we don't love each other the way we should, we don't even love God like we should. And the Holy Spirit said, I'm here to give you the love to love each other with, and I'm here to give you the love to love your God with. Amen. Amen. I'm here to shed that kind of love abroad in your heart. And that's the kind of love that they had in the Colosseum. Amen. When they could have absolutely rejected Christ. Amen. And they could have walked out of their free people. But they wouldn't do it. And whole families died. Amen. In terrible ways. Just because they had an allegiance to Jesus. You couldn't hook that crowd with Rolexes. You couldn't hook that crowd. Listen, Jesus. Listen, you know what? There was a song by Blues Traveler. I'm going to get a little contemporary on you. And it was named The Hook. And it's about everything in advertisement. Everything in the world has a hook. And the hook will bring you back. There's something in music to hook you. There's something in advertising to hook you. Because if they hook you, they can bring you back. And the church is bought into the same thing. We got to hook you with some special blessing. Hook you with something over here. Hook you with something over there. Amen. Listen, the preaching of the cross, amen, is supposed to hook us. Can you say amen? The preaching of the cross is supposed to involve us. The preaching of the cross is supposed to enamor us with God. The preacher of the cross is supposed to fill us with enthusiasm and love. It's supposed to solicit love from our heart to a God that gave His all for us. The cross is just a symbol over church doors that are falling out of love with Jesus. Becoming program laden because the cross isn't enough to bring people out. The world owns them. And they that are the flesh mind the things of the flesh. So practice your religion, but make it entertaining. Because if you don't entertain me, there are people tonight would go to a gospel concert, wouldn't ever show up at a prayer meeting. Because you don't get entertained at prayer meetings. You gotta love God to go in your closet and shut to the door and talk to Him. You don't have to love God to sit in an audience and watch the antics of some group. Some of the groups, amen, hook you with antics. Hello? I don't like to see people just act a fool after singing a devotional song. Somehow or another, it just don't fit. I know I use some humor in preaching, but I bring it back real quick. I'm not performing for you. How many know I'm not performing? So I just want to draw a parallel before we even get any further in this teaching. That if you equate covenant love with the kind of love you love with, you don't know a thing about it. You won't get a benefit from this teaching. Because you'll think God loves you at your best effort to love someone that you love the most. And He loves you a lot more than that. Because let me tell you something, your love can break down. You say, I would never stop. Honey, you don't know what may happen to you. Corrie Ten Boom was in Robin's book, Prison Camp, and she thought she loved the whole world until she saw the abuses that man would do this to one another. And that's why her sister said, Corrie, don't hate. And you know how you keep from hating? You've got to keep loving to keep from hating. There is no in-between. You know God said there's no in-between love and hate? One or the other. You can't serve two masters. You will love one and like the other. No, you will love one and hate the other. Or you will hate one and love the other. But you can't serve them simultaneously. You know why? Because God and mammon are such opposites. You can't stand in one direction, amen, and not turn your back on the other. And you can't stand in this direction without turning your back on that. That's why repentance has a 180-degree turn. Can you say amen? You can't turn to God without turning away from the world. You can't blend this thing. It won't blend. Of course, the church just wants you in. Then we can get a head count. And we can build our recreation building. Nothing wrong with your recreation building. Unless you're just seeing people as assets to build your stuff with. I went to a pastor's conference. I would love to go to a pastor's conference. Where everybody gets on their face and seeks God for revival. Repents of our personal sins. And pledges to God that we're going to preach the truth if we have to go to work to preach it. Can you say amen? That we'll give up our perks if we have to. It's all right in order to preach the truth on Sunday morning. So we can have a real revival. So we can even have some marriages outlast the pressure and temptations of this old world. So that we can get men and women, amen, off of the pornography sites on the internet. And we can get us out of of our books and our novels and our soap operas. Come on, it's all sensuality. Soap operas ought to be PG-13 at the very least. Amen. Sex is everywhere, and Christians have been conditioned. It don't matter to us anymore. And the fact that it don't matter means that we come to church polluted. We come to church, amen, with part of our life so involved in the world, its structure, and its system that it's hard to get into real worship. We don't sense the holy. We don't sense the divine. We sense our fatigue and our tiredness. That's what we sense. Well, that's very wrong. I'm going to tell you something. If you sense the holy and you sense the divine, you forget about yourself. You lose yourself in that presence. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But we can't take these people that are bombed out and just zoned out through the week and on Sunday have some kind of real spiritual move of God. Lady came from a large church to our church and heard the truth and was challenged and convicted. Played in an orchestra in one of the largest churches in Central Florida. Considered Christian by everybody's standard, but she was hopelessly hooked to cocaine because her other job was playing in a band, and in that band there was cocaine, and she was hooked. But she wasn't convicted enough in her church to get unhooked. But she came to the Holy Church of God, and she couldn't sit there hooked like that and play the game anymore. I tell you, you got to do something in this church. You got to get closer to God or you're going to be convicted and run out that door. But you can't sit here and play church. And God don't want you to sit anywhere and play church. God didn't want a church that was played like a game. He wanted a church that was a chaste virgin. Amen. Keeping herself unto Jesus Christ. Paul said, I want to present you. The gospel has cleansed you and gave you a brand new start. I want to present you a chaste virgin to Jesus. Ephesians 5 calls it a church that is without spot and without blemish or any such thing, but that it should be holy. Believe me, Holy Church of God is not a bad name. We will have to change it in the future, amen, because somebody else had it in 1930-something. And we now have somebody else's name. We formed before the computer base could go all over the United States of America, so excuse me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I didn't know anybody else had the name. Hadn't bothered anybody, but it bothered somebody when they saw it. They just went, whoa, amen, and wrote me a letter about that. I tried to respond and couldn't get them, and then I just didn't want to talk to them anymore, so I quit trying to respond. Can you say, man? I do love them, however. I just don't want to talk to them. I want to talk to them when we're ready to just change the name, and it's okay to change the name, but I don't have a problem with the Holy Church of God, because it's the Holy Church and not our church, but the church is going to be holy that Christ comes for. Mark it down in your Bible. He's coming for a church that is holy. Can you say amen? Oh, you didn't hear me. Mark it down in your Bible. Can you say amen? He's coming for a church that is holy. Come on, mark it down in your Bible in Ephesians 5 that it might be washed in the water by the Word, that it might be holy, hallelujah, without spot and without wrinkle. Amen. Then it's going to take some preachers to iron out the wrinkles, and it's going to take some cleansing Word. Come on, I said some cleansing Word to get the spots out of her. Because right now there's wrinkled and spotted situations that God wants to correct. And if you love Him, you want it ironed out and you want it washed out. Can you say amen? Oh, don't patty cake. I know it's Sunday night. Rock stars get a lot better than that. And you know it and I know it. It wasn't for me. It was for that truth. So here we stand with phony baloney love on Sunday. Are you cynical? No, I'm truthful. I'm factual and I'm accurate. There are more binding relationships on jobs than there are in churches. Amen. I meet people that I worked with 20-something years ago at Tampa Electric Company. And when I meet them, I have a hug, warm hand. I was walking down the mall, and this guy about 6'4", he wears a 16 shoe. He's a big man. He's big, wide, big, tall, big guy. I'm walking down in the mall at the university one Christmas, and I'd see people that used to come to church, and if they could, they'd avoid me, you know, and go the other way. And here this guy I worked with all those years ago, he came running across all them Christmas shoppers, grabbed me up, gave me this big old bear hug. You know, I can't breathe, mama. Amen. It was one of those kind of hugs. Hallelujah. And then he let me back down, said, how you doing? Told me that he was conducting classes now. He was kind of teaching people coming into the company, amen, how to work out on a line crew. And he said, I always use the relationship that we had to tell them what they need to do to work together, how that we talked with one another, prayed for one another, and we worked together on that job. A Baptist deacon, a Church of Christ Sunday school teacher, and a Pentecostal preacher made up the crew. Honey, I want you to know, you think, oh, that's great, all Christian, yeah. But, hey, man, there's some big differences between Church of Christ Sunday School teacher, Baptist deacon, and the Pentecostal preacher. But you know something? We found a common ground. And that ground was greater than all of our differences. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know what the common ground was? That, amen, Jesus Christ and the cross. And that we were brothers. And that we were blood brothers. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And we decided, instead of arguing about our differences, to celebrate our salvation and pray for one another. Every time some question would lead me toward argument, I'd circumvent it. Says, don't go there right now. Because if we can win their heart, then maybe they'll listen to my doctrine or my point of view. But if I alienate them on the onset, I can't even talk to them anymore. Hello? Glory. So I realized, you know, there are relationships that are strong, but they're not strong enough. But God loves different. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Doesn't break down under the pressure. It's not broken while I hang on a cross. God the Father, who watched His Son writhe and die, loved enough to let it go on to the very end, hearing the cries of agony. I'm going to tell you, if it was my innocent son on a cross for somebody proud, blaspheming, hateful, mean, stubborn, and my innocent son is up there dying in their place, and I could pull him off of there without the supernatural kicking in, there's no way, brother, that I'd give my son for the likes of me and you. But he did. And that just proves his love is so much higher than our human capacity. Everybody say help. Do you think God is going to tell you to love like He loved and not give you the help to do it? No. The problem is we're not into that kind of help. We want help with our finances. We want help with our physical needs. We want help, amen, with our emotions. We don't want help loving our enemies because we really don't want to love them in the first place. So why would we ask God for help to love that person at work that we don't even like? And you know what? We don't ever pull it off. Problem is, if we never get into that supernatural, we're not even going to love like we ought to the people we do like. Because if it isn't supernatural, it's natural. If it's natural, it's got limits. And if I cross your limits, you're done with me. Oh, don't look at me so smug. You cross mine, I'm done with you too. Hello? But if I love you with His love, there's no limit. Can't cross my limits. You become my enemy. Hello? But as long as there's limits, it's not God's love, is it? Hello? If it's not God's love, whose love is it? It's ours. And that's why we break down in our witness to the world. So we see broken people, we see broken clergy, we see broken lives over relationships, we see broken marriages, covenants are just broken, broken, broken. The Bible said men will be truce breakers. They will break covenants in the last day. They won't have any commitment. I think New Yorker magazine, I was reading in some dentist's office, I opened it up and it had a picture of a guy, he's getting ready to be married. Best man has given him some last minute advice. He's telling the prospective groom, he's saying, have you really thought this over? Do you understand that you're making a 3 or 4 year commitment here? And it's laughable because people know what is going to be said, whether it be before a priest or a preacher, a judge or a justice, unless there's a real deep commitment, no covenant is going to be entered into. Legally, this is a contract that can be broken. It's called a no-fault divorce. We don't want to do it anymore, so we're out of here. And we're astounded that the homosexual community wants to have homosexual marriages, and it takes us back about the immorality of that, but it don't bother us at all about the Christians getting divorced.
Come on, brother.
That doesn't shock us. Do you hear me? Sin is sin.
That's right.
Come on, sin is sin.
That's right.
We're the ones making the big and the little of it. Why? Because we've been conditioned. Christian leadership is broke down. We see it in the highest echelons and levels, and God still uses people, still use Samson after he slept with a harlot. But a day come when Samson found himself bound. Can you say amen? You don't follow the preacher that failed and seems God is blessing. He might have truly repented. Amen. Listen, you can't plan on sinning knowing that you can repent. There's something very wrong with that. I can't say, you know something, I'm going out on Pamela. I know it's adultery. I know it's sin. But I want this sensation. I'm going out on her. But when, after I do, I'm going to get it right and go on in my ministry because God is a God of infinite forgiveness. Listen, repentance is not like that. You can't use grace as a cloak for lasciviousness or maliciousness. You cannot do it. It doesn't work that way. Can you say amen? Grace is to catch you if you fall. You don't jump in to that net. Can you say amen? This is trying to manipulate God's love to accommodate our sin. His love is to forgive us and cleanse us, not to give us license. And there's a grace message out there that says you have license because of grace. It's nowhere in Scripture. What shall we sin that grace may abound? God Himself forbids that. Grace is to catch the fallen soul. Not the people who are rebellious and headstrong, saying, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do this, and God can just lump it. But I'm going to heaven, and I'm going to be blessed, and my prayers are going to be answered. What a lie out of the pit of hell.
Amen.
For whoever you serve, your member's servant to obey. His servant you are who you obey. That's why 1 John said, you commit sin, if you live in habitually and you don't repent, you didn't just stumble and fall, but you walk in that way. Amen. He said, you're of the devil. You're not of God. It doesn't matter what church you belong to or what position you hold in it.
Amen.
Or what the preacher has to say. Let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. It's your soul. Don't get somebody to tell you what you want to hear. Get somebody to tell you what God has to say. You don't answer to that man or that conclave. Amen. That holy conclave of august leaders in a church. You answer to God Almighty at the judgment. Can you say amen? This is His book. This is what He has to say about it.
Amen.
The truth that will set you free.
Amen.
Set your feet a-dancing. Give you real, genuine joy in your life. Hallelujah. So the issue of the last days is that the love of many would wax cold. You see the breaking down because people aren't seeking God to love like He loves. They're seeking God for gifts and ministries. What for? What do I want? What do I want it for? Do I want it because I love you so much and love mankind so much I would give my life to help anybody that I could? No, I want it to be seen. I want it to be heard. I want it to be great. That's why so many spiritual gifts are abused, because we want to be seen and heard. We've got to be seen and heard. We can't, amen, go behind the scenes and just do a good deed. That's not enough. Somebody has got to applaud us. Somebody's got to respect us. The gifts are for the edifying of the body. They're not for you. They're for other people. Amen. Love is supposed to be flowing with that gift. Can you say amen? If love doesn't flow through it, we've never ministered Christ, no matter what kind of gift, legitimate gift is operated. That's why tongues become sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. All of this semblance of spirituality breaking down when it comes time to love like He loved. So go to any church in town, pick anyone, and you'll find that there will be some people in there that will love completely. There will be people in there in spiritual leadership and people in there with all kinds of spiritual gifts and capabilities that as long as you agree with them or you please them, you can actually be friends for a while. But you displease them or disagree with them one time, and they're done with you. The hand says to the foot constantly in the body of Christ, I don't have any need of you. With no qualms. Don't lose a wink of sleep over it. And we wonder why we're not significant to the world. Why our generation is more sinful than any generation in the history of America. And more churchy. Church is big business, big time, out in the forefront. The percentages say that something like 80-something percent of Americans believe in God? Isn't that incredible to be this sinful and believe in God? Well, the devils believe, but they react differently than us. They tremble. Can you say amen? They tremble. They tremble. They tremble. They tremble. Because our belief is a head belief. They know it's real. And they know He's real. And they know outside of grace, it's the most awful thing imaginable to have to face a God whose Son died, who gave so freely, who's been totally rejected when man chose darkness over light. And they tremble at their fate. They tremble at the prospect. And we sit in church and play the game unmoved. So I'm 30 years into ministry. I'm already working, so I can tell it completely. I always did, didn't I? Amen. The Holy Church of God, when I was dependent on everybody's support totally, I did it anyway. You know why? You know why? Because I'm accountable for your soul. Amen. And everybody that hears a tape, and everybody that is in a service. The last days, the Bible said it would become an apostate church. And that's about broken covenants. Apostate is the old ancient word for breaking a contract. It meant I made a commitment, but now I'm breaking the commitment that I've made. It became, evolved into a word that was used for divorce itself because commitments were made and they were broken. And the Bible speaks of a time when the church would become apostate. We made a covenant with God to follow Him, to obey His word, but then we cave in and we give in to political correctness and to temptation, and we begin to compromise. And God calls us at that point. What does He call us? Covenant breakers? He calls us adulterers and adulteresses. You're breaking your covenant. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. That is not preached because there's too many worldly people in church and it would bother them. And guess what? Our budget wouldn't get met. And our gymnasium wouldn't get finished building, being built. And this grandiose idea of spiritual success wouldn't be portrayed to a world that could care less what goes on. Because a bunch of those people are going to run with them on Saturday night. That are in that choir on Sunday morning. That hold offices in that church. Now, are you ready for the good news? You ready for the good news? Out of this emerges the true church. Everything that can be shaken shall be shaken, so that that which cannot be shaken might remain. There are five wise virgins. They're espoused. They are chaste. Their vessels are full. That ought to be a warning. Amen. Everybody that professed and claimed Him didn't go out to meet Him. Amen.
That's right,
but there's a church being readied for the bridegroom because she's being washed by the word. She's already been washed in the blood. That took care of your positional righteousness. But now she's being washed by the word. That's your personal righteousness. God requires both. Can you say amen? The blood and nothing else gave you a position of a son. But it's the washing of water by the word that gives you the cleansing to become the bride. Hallelujah. And what's happening? You know what's happening in my heart? God is scrubbing on me. God is washing on me. He won't let me try to pass off my human ability to love, amen, as His agape love, because it's not the same thing. I can't even understand His if I think my best effort is anywhere close to it. I can only appreciate His when I see mine as nothing compared to His. Can you say amen? And I seek Him and say, God, let me love with a greater love than anything I've ever imagined, because that's the kind of love that You've loved me with. What holds churches together, people together, marriages together, amen. Christians together. Yes. It binds you to God. It bonds you to God. Amen. Not only couldn't anything separate Paul from the love of God, amen, in terms of trial and test, nothing could separate Paul from loving God either.
Amen.
All he went through, don't you think he might have had a moment there where he said, Lord, how can man, I love you if you keep letting this happen to me. Amen. He didn't even go through that moment. He wished he was dead down in Asia, but he never quit loving God. Hello? We love God if He'll do things for us. Had a man was in the hyper faith movement one time. You know which movement that is. It says you can manipulate God with your words and your confessions. Get anything you want. Write your blank check. He prayed for something that didn't happen. And this man that was so devoted to the Word, who went to a Word church, you know what he did? He turned on God because his prayer wasn't answered the way he thought it should be answered. And I thought, what a shallow thing we call faith. What a shallow thing we call spirituality and depth. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Job said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth you, and my arguments are vain. My arguments are mute. My arguing days are over. Can you say amen? Even though I don't understand, I will not argue with you anymore. Amen. You are my maker. You are my creator. God said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Amen. I don't have to explain myself to you. Amen. I'm going to redeem you though, amen, in spite of yourself. And a day is coming, and Job got a hold of that. Hallelujah. He said, I abhor myself. I repent in sackcloth and ashes for sitting here trying to manipulate God for my own convenience. I love Him. I love Him, and I know He loves me, and I don't understand this, but I won't quit loving Him, and He won't quit loving me. In fact, my Redeemer lives, and though the skin worms eat my body, at the last day He's going to stand on the earth, and I'm going to see Him. Hallelujah. If he, in his lack of understanding, he said something that pleased God, even though he slay me, if it pleased him to let me die in this condition, I won't deny him. Hallelujah. Because I haven't just heard about him, I've seen him. He's bigger and better than I ever imagined. So what is America today? It's a nation that calls on God in the time of trouble and hates God when the trouble's over. We hate His commandments. We hate His Word. We hate the manger scene in the public square. We want to be as far politically from God as we can get unless they hit us again. And then we want Billy Graham to pray. We want some priest to come. We want to call America to pray. And then we want God to go crawl off and get back in His box until we need Him again. We're treading very dangerous ground. And we need revival in America. And it starts at the church house. Because we suppose that gain is godliness, and that's why this nation has veered like it has. We think our riches is a symbol of God's blessing when there's no moral standard any longer nationally. So after 30 years, I would not be in ministry without Agape. Because my limits would have been crossed a long time ago. One time I asked God to take me out of ministry so that I wouldn't be bitter. I won't be bitter if you'll just take me away from that stimulates the bitterness. Pull me out of ministry and I won't be bitter anymore, because I don't want to be bitter and you don't want me bitter. Well, He did something else. He saturated my heart with the Holy Spirit. So I'm not bitter, but I am truthful. I won't tell you it's okay when it isn't. And I won't tell you that every church that's singing to Jesus on Sunday, including ours, really loves Jesus Christ. And I won't tell you that every artist that's making an album for a recording studio is not performing, because some of them are. And I won't tell you that 12 people following Jesus all loved Him to pieces, because one of them didn't. Can you say amen? I won't tell you that Peter loved Him the first 3 years. Because he obviously did not. He thought he did. Others would deny you, but hear yourself talking about your limited capacity. But I won't. They might. Look out this bunch. But not me, buddy. I'm with you no matter what. 24 hours. And all bets are off. It breaks down. Amen? So I guess the problem is tonight I just don't accept. I don't accept this religious brand of Christian love. Because it won't keep you loving God. Won't keep you loving each other. Won't keep your marriage together. It's got to go beyond that. And that's why God sent the Holy Spirit. Not just to give tongues and gifts. But to begin to work within our character and begin to fashion Jesus in us. Sometimes when I'm ministering at the end of the service, I feel like I'm ministering Christ. I'm not ministering power, anointing, gifts. I'm just ministering Jesus. And it's the greater ministry. It's the greatest ministry there could possibly be. Because when I minister Him, there's healing, there's help, there's deliverance, there's everything you need in Jesus Christ. Will you stand with me tonight? Good news is, out of this is emerging a true church.